Hello, and welcome to this podcast from AWM Pioneers. We're a mission agency with a focus on reaching people of the Arab world with the gospel. In these recordings, we're interviewing some of our workers about their experiences over 2020. We hope you enjoy hearing their stories and are as inspired as we were. Hello, Bob. It's good to see you again.
Hiya.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself, please?
Well, I'm what you could say just an ordinary guy, married with a few children, and we're currently working in a part of the world where people are a lot worse off than we are in terms of social and economic wealth and prosperity, and obviously where they follow another religion to the one that I'm convinced is the truth. So we're working there, and we've been there for a number of years now, but currently we're back in our home country because of the current crisis. We're struggling to get back out through family reasons and obviously access to the country. So, yeah.
Right. So you've been back a little while now, but what before you came back, what would a day, and before it happened, before Corona came along, what did a day look like for you?
Well, we were living in a very remote part of the country where we were serving. We worked in a medical facility in the midst of some pretty hostile weather conditions in terms of hot, very hot climate, very dry and dusty. And we provided medical facilities for the local people. But what happened when the crisis hit with this virus is that the government very wisely put the country into lockdown.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Much quicker than the Western countries. So I have to really praise the wisdom of the government and those in authority. They're very wise. The army imposed that restriction, and the country did an amazing job in keeping a lid, as it were, on that crisis. But that did mean, because of the lockdown, the people we were amongst were restricted in what they could do in terms of getting food, and so it brought a lot of pressure upon the people we were living amongst. But the wonderful privilege that we had was we had an exemption because of the role we were performing, an exemption which allowed us to do some traveling for humanitarian reasons. And so we were able to run lots of errands to get supplies, basic supplies, bread, vegetables, when we could find them, to help the people we were living amongst basically survive through the crisis. And even though, say, it was just a two-week lockdown, for most people, they lived from hand to mouth. So, you know, 2 days in the house and they've got very little. So we were able to really help those people get through the crisis. So I was running a lot of errands in the vehicle, just getting food, and that was what took up a lot of my time. So basically, I'd get up in the morning, and I'd meet up with the other medical staff, and we would have a list of jobs, people to go and see, requests to list, from gas cylinders to bread to water. You know, we have to bring very often water into the village because it's not consistent. And yeah, because some people don't have running water, so they have to have their drinking water out of, you know, 20 liter cans.
Wow.
It's a very basic lifestyle. So it's basically providing bread and water and heating materials for survival.
So was the complete lockdown then? Was there no curfew?
Initially, it was a lockdown, and then it eased to a curfew. And then as the government saw fit, sometimes go back into a lockdown. So it alternated between lockdown and curfews, really.
Wow. That's tough.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but you've come back now. So, but if you were still there, what sort of thing would you be doing now? Would it be much the same?
Well, even though where we lived, and hopefully we'll be there, we're at a very high altitude, well, high relative to the UK. And even though in the summer it's blisteringly hot, in the winter it's worse conditions. It's kind of Scotland conditions, you know, absolutely freezing cold. I've never been so cold in all my life. Our house is the temperature of a fridge normally throughout the day. So at this time of year, if I were back there, we would be supplying firewood to the local people, and again, getting them gas canisters, just to really help them survive. But in all of this, we're doing it to show the love of Christ to them. And so every time I would drop off a bag of wood or some kind of gift, I would say, look, this isn't from me. This is from the Lord Jesus. So that's what I'd be doing, because I wanted them to know that it's the love of Christ that is prompting us to do that. And, you know, one thing we did do during the lockdown earlier on in this year, we repaired the roof of one guy's house, because the kitchen roof, basically, because it's made very similar to what it was in the Bible, you know, wood and then branches and then mud with just a thin concrete layer on top. Well, that concrete had worn through. So once it got through the concrete, straight onto the mud, and then the mud just dropped. And so the kitchen had big holes in the roof. So, you know, 8 months ago, I was repairing the roof of this person's house so that this winter they'd be able to use their kitchen without it being a shower room.
Oh, wow. So how did they respond to that?
Well, they were obviously overjoyed. But it, again, it gave us the opportunity to get involved in these people's lives in a practical expression of love, but also taking every opportunity to just share about the Christ who loved us enough to leave the glory of heaven to come and give his life for us.
Yeah. So it sounds like all the time, every day, you've got different ways, different simple ways in a way that you can reach out to the people locally.
Yeah. There's many, many practical ways, whether it's medical, whether it's kind of construction, whether it's just sitting down with people and learning their language, and whether it's helping them out with their English, because they try to learn English, whether it's running children's clubs, providing structure for their lives in a practical way, just helping them any practical way. So there's, in a sense, there's opportunities for anybody who has any gift. And what has really struck me is that I went to this part of the world thinking, well, I've got very few skills that can be used. And God just used the skills that I enjoy using and provided the opportunity, and I'm just blown away how God can use anything.
Wow, you've almost answered one of the questions I was going to ask you, which is, what sort of things would you be looking for in if someone was going to join your team?
Well, there are things like medical skills that are useful, teaching skills, childcare, youth work, practical skills, you know, electricians, plumbers, all those sort of skills. And I find it hard to think of anything where I'd say, well, that can't be used.
Scuba diver?
No, just an hour away from us, there is a lady I know who's a scuba diving instructor, and she's there sharing the gospel. So, sorry.
So, yeah, okay, I'll think some more. Brilliant, like that.
Maybe a table tennis No. I know a friend who was doing table tennis, and using that as a means. So there's very little.
That's brilliant. So virtually anybody.
Yeah. What God wants is somebody who's willing to say, "I'll go." And God will make a space for them. Definitely.
Right. So you've been telling us about all the ways in which you can meet people. Have you got any encouraging stories that you could share?
Yes, we had, as it were, somebody, a local person working with us, and they professed to follow Jesus, and then all of a sudden they just turned and said, no, don't. And basically, I think what they were doing is they were just using us to get money and work and stuff like that. So that was very sad. But all the time that this person had been working with us, there was somebody else with us who wasn't an employee. He was just kind of a hanger on, as it were. And he saw this person and their behavior. And he saw how this person treated us. And when this person left, this person that had been in the sidelines, as it were, saw what had happened, and he stepped almost naturally into the place of this person, and he saw how we treated this person, even though this guy had stabbed us in the back, as it were. And he saw the love we had for him, how we sought to help him whatever happened, how we still prayed for him even after he'd stabbed us in the back. And that was just a fantastic opportunity that God gave us to show the love, forgiveness, acceptance of people, no matter how we're treated. And, you know, Christ was treated terribly, a lot worse than we'll ever be treated. And yet he still prayed for their Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
So even through that difficult time with this guy who left, God provided a fantastic opportunity to be a witness to this new guy. And he's still with us, kind of 8 months later.
Brilliant.
So that's a thrill.
That's lovely. I love that story. So Bob, how can we pray for you and the people amongst whom you would love to be working at the moment?
We need prayer for us as witnesses to be united in our love for each other. Because it says, doesn't it, by the love that we have for our brothers and sisters, the world will know that we are Christ's disciples. And we want the world to know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus. So in teams where you're working very closely together, internal relationships can sometimes be tough.
Yep.
And so we pray for unity and love within the team, and within the teams that are there. And just pray for the people that we have been working with for a good number of years now, and this new man, that when we go back, we want to do a course with them which goes through the Bible and studies the prophets and shows Christ in all the scriptures. And we want to run that course, and we long for them to come to know Christ for themselves. So those two things, really.
That's brilliant. Bob, thank you so much.
Privilege, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you.